Before I begin and before I forget, I'd like to say thank you to your congregation for allowing me to be here. Thank you to your pastor and to whatever your governing board may be called for allowing me to represent the Gideons here this morning. Shall we bow our hearts in prayer? Gracious God, once again we come before you with thanksgiving for this beautiful day that you've given to us. May we use it to glorify you in all that we do throughout this day. Now, may the words that I speak this day be those that you want me to speak as I give the report of how you are using this ministry of the Gideons throughout the world. In Christ's name, amen. God makes promises, and his promises are unchanging. In Isaiah chapter 55, and many times Gideons use this passage, we find these words, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." There was a girl named Carrie Christie, and she was raised in a family that was a family of unbelievers. And one day while she was traveling with her mother, who was an artist and would go around to different cities and show her artwork, Carrie stole a Bible from the hotel room. She took that Bible home with her, and she hid it on the shelf in her closet. And there it sat. Well, Carrie went off to the University of Georgia, and there she became friends with some Christian girls, and these Christian girls invited her to go to Bible study with them. So she got herself a Bible at college. And as she was in college, her mother became ill with cancer. And so when she came home to visit her mother, she said, "Mother, I've joined this Bible study group, and there are some very comforting words in the Bible, but I left my Bible at school. I really would have liked to have shared with you." Her mother said, "Carrie, I was cleaning your closet one day while you were off at school, and I found a Bible on the shelf in there. I think it's still up there." And so Carrie went and she pulled down that Bible, and she shared with her mother, and she witnessed to her, and her mother accepted Christ as her Savior. You may ask, well, who are the Gideons? The Gideons are business and professional men who believe in the Bible as the inspired Word of God. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God, and He is our personal Savior. We're members of a Protestant or an evangelical church, and we are international in scope. The Gideons now have what we call camps. That's the local group. Union County has a camp. I belong to what is called the Northumberland West Camp. That covers Northumberland, Sunbury, and we've even pulled Montour County in with us. And there's a Northumberland Southeast Camp, and of course many other camps across the state and around the world. But anyway, we are international in scope. We are now in 200 countries around the world, and we distribute God's holy word in over 90 languages so that the people might be able to read it in a language that they will understand. I have with me a testament that's a bilingual testament. And on the one side of the page is English, and the other side of this one is Japanese. And so it was that a testament like this was in a hospital. It was New Testament, and the gentleman that was in there took it home with him. And while he had it at home, He came to read the Bible, not to learn about Jesus Christ, but he read the Bible to learn to read English, because it had English on one side and Japanese on the other. He read where it said that that which cometh out of man defileth the man, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts. And he thought, well, I should be able to improve by and by. So about 4 or 5 years later, he attended a tent meeting, and he was drawn by the words, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He went into that tent meeting, and there he heard the story of the prodigal son. And he thought, well, that can relate to me. And he felt the joy of salvation at that tent meeting. Several years later, he wrote to the Gideons. And when he signed his letter to the Gideons, it was signed the Reverend Richie Shabbati from Bethany Christian Assembly of God in Miyoshi, Japan. So his intent was to learn to read English, but that took him into a call into the ministry. There was a gentleman named Mr. Smith who was in the hospital, and the woman that wrote to us said she was a nurse, and she said many times she has an opportunity to share scriptures, but that particular day she had forgotten to bring her little nurse testament with her, and so she went into this one room and to check on her patients, and one man was sleeping. She left him alone, but the next man in the room was awake. And he said to her, "Well, you know, I've never been a religious man, but the doctor told me I have cancer. And he said, I'd better make my peace. Can you help me do that?" So immediately this nurse thought of Mordecai and Esther. "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for a time such as this?" So she reached into the bedside table, or the bedside stand, and she pulled out a hospital testament. Now this, I happen to have a hardbound one. Today we place softbound ones because in a lot of hospitals they will now send the testament home, especially if it's in a ward or a room where there are communicable diseases, so they don't want them to spread the diseases. But this testament that I have is a hardbound that's for hospitals and nursing homes, and the print is bigger because we sometimes have trouble reading the word. Well, anyway, she pulled the Bible from the bedside table, and there she sat and she read to the gentleman during the night. She had to read a little loud because Mr. Smith was getting up in years and was deaf. So, but he had forgotten his reading glasses, so she needed to read to him. And she read to him, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God," and some other verses that he needed to hear to know that he was right with God. She said, "My heart rejoiced when I left the hospital that evening, because Mr. Smith had ended up weeping that only God can give him the peace that he was receiving." It emphasized to her that in 1 Peter we read, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And she said to the Gideons, "Thank you so much for your faithfulness in placing scriptures. But we couldn't do that if it weren't for congregations such as yours that help us to support this ministry with your prayers and with your financial support." In St. Petersburg, in the former Soviet Union, there was a prison there, and in the prison, there was a man who didn't want to have anything to do with God when he arrived at the prison. But when the Gideons came in to make a distribution there, the man said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "I want you to look around my cell here." He said, "When I came in here, I didn't want anything to do with God. Didn't want to hear his name even. But a former inmate in that prison had taken the pages from a testament and had pasted them all around on the walls. You know, God has a sense of humor and we don't always see it. But I find this, although it's a serious thing, it's a little humorous too that God would see that this man was placed in a cell where all he could read was the scripture on the wall. And so he said to the Gideons, he said, "Could you tell me a little bit more about this Jesus that is written about on these pages?" And so the Gideon shared with him, and the man said, "Well, what do I need to do to accept Jesus Christ?" And the Gideon prayed with him, and he accepted Christ as his Savior. There was a gentleman named Mr. Jewell, and Mr. Jewell was up in his 80s, and one day when he was out front of his home, he noticed that there was a little orange testament up on his porch roof. He thought, "Well, now, what is that?" So he got his ladder and he pulled it down. He went up his ladder and pulled down this testament, and he realized that he hadn't gone to church for quite a long time, that he had been what we would call a backslider. And so he took that testament, and he was up in years. I think it said he was 81 at the time, and he began to read. And I can picture that he probably had to use a magnifying glass, because these little testaments are kind of difficult to read because of the fine print. But he would carefully study the New Testament from that day on, and he could be seen sitting alone in his kitchen table. It says he had trouble reading the small print, but he found the plan of salvation in the back of the book, where it says you get a chance to make a decision for Christ, confessing to God that I'm a sinner and believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins on the cross and was raised for my justification. I do now receive and confess him as my personal Savior. He said, "I knew that this was what I needed." And he said, "I knew I needed Jesus, and I asked him to save me." A few years later, Mr. Jewell was diagnosed with a terminal illness and has since gone home to be with the Lord. But he was able to accept the reality of his illness with hope, the hope for today, and the hope for eternity. So we should never underestimate the value of one testament and its power to save a soul for eternity. There was a young girl that lived in a mining town, and she had received a testament in school. And one morning, as her daddy was leaving to go to work in the mines, she slipped the testament into his overall pocket. And that day at the mine, there was an explosion, and the men were trapped in the mine. They were trapped so long that actually they died before the rescuers could get to them. But when they got to her father, they found that he had his testament in his hands, and when they gave it to the family, he had written a note in it. He said, "Sue, I love you. I'll see you in heaven." And so her father had read the words from that testament that the child had received in school, but placed in her father's pocket that day, and he was able to leave a message and let her know that he was going to heaven because of Jesus Christ, and he would see her there someday. There was a tractor trailer driver, and his name was Art Adams. And Art lived in Lancaster, and he used to drive back and forth between Lancaster and the Pittsburgh area. And Art liked his booze. And he would have to stay overnight because of the number of hours in driving. If any of you have a tractor trailer, you know that you're limited in driving hours. So he would stay in a hotel or motel. And while staying in a motel, he picked up one of these Gideon Place Bibles, and he began to read. And he didn't know why exactly that he had read that. What made him read it? But he read about Christ. He read about each one of us being a sinner. And he was touched by the Spirit. When he came home, he went to his refrigerator and he dumped out all the bottles of beer. He dumped them down the drain. Then he went and he asked his wife for forgiveness because the alcohol problem he had caused family abuse. And so he asked her for forgiveness. And he wrote to the Gideons and said, "Thank you so much for having a Bible somewhere," because he was thinking about taking his life when he picked up that Bible, because he had reached the bottom of the pit. We like to think that we're kind of color coordinated in the Gideons, because if you've noticed, each one of these testaments that I have happens to be a different color. The brown ones we call personal workers' testaments. The orange ones are passed out to young people from fourth grade or higher. And the red ones in foreign countries we distribute to school students. Then we have little white-bound testaments, and they're distributed to nurses. And so it was that a few years ago, a young lady wrote to a Gideon from the Columbia County camp named Jack Lewis. And this young lady's name was Melissa, and she was attending the Washingtonville School of Nursing. And she wrote to Jack. She said she had a day of academic testing, and she was really uptight. But in the middle of the day, the Gideons came in, and they distributed these little testaments to the girls there, and the girls and boys. And she said, "Although I had been very tense, when I received that testament and held it in my hands," she said, "a calmness came over her." And she said, "From that point on, the day went fine, and all the anxiety that she had about taking tests had disappeared." There was a lady named Mary Kay. And Mary Kay was a hardened prisoner. And she wrote to the Gideons about how her heart was so hard. She was kind of like the Bonnie of Bonnie and Clyde. And she said, "I had a very hardened heart." But somewhere she heard read to the ladies in the prison about the hardened heart being softened. I think it's in Jeremiah. And she challenged God. She said, "If you can soften a heart, soften mine." Well, God took up that challenge with her. And little by little, her heart was softened and her attitude changed. She was supposed to be in the prison for 20 to 25 years at least. And the guards noticed the difference in her. The warden noticed the difference in her, and she was paroled after just a few years of her sentence. And when she got out of prison, she joined a church, and there she became a Sunday school teacher. She married a Christian man, and they have raised several children. But she wrote that thanks to the Gideons placing Bibles in that prison and the Bible studies that were being held, she had come to know Christ as her personal Savior. Well, we've been distributing scriptures now for a good many years. The Gideons were formed over 100 years ago, and they started distributing Bibles a few years later. Back in 2001, the 1 billionth Bible had been distributed. But it took all those years to get to 1 billion. In 2015, that's this year, the 2 billionth Bible has been distributed. Each week, every 4.5 days, 1 million Bibles are distributed somewhere in the 200 countries around the world in over 90 languages. In the past several weeks, I've had the opportunity to participate in several distributions. The first one, well, actually, it was just this last week, or a week and a half ago, was up at the Montour de Long Fair, and there we distributed scriptures. This past Saturday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we were out at the Northumberland County Fair, and there we distributed scriptures. About 500 or 600 scriptures were distributed there. And the one lady up at the Montour de Long Fair at the Christian Farmers stand came over and she said, "Give me one of those full Bibles." And she said, "Give me a Bible." So I went to hand her a testament. No, she said, "I want a full Bible." She said, "We have a young lady stopped in over here," and she said, she didn't even know the stories of Noah and so many of the Old Testaments. I told her I was going to get her a Bible. She said her family didn't even have a Bible in her home. Now, I don't know about you, but I must have 8 or 10 Bibles around the house. And when we think that there are people in this nation and even in this area that don't even own a Bible, how important it is for us to be spreading God's word. There was what they call a Bible blitz in Brazil. And when the Gideons went in there to make a distribution, the teacher said, "You were here about 10 years ago and made a distribution, and we're so poor in this school that we can't afford books, so we've been using your little testaments to teach reading in our classes." And she said, "I'd like to show you this one particular one." And so she showed the Gideon the testament. And in the back of the testament, where you can sign that you've received Christ, in those 10 years in that one testament alone, 9 children had accepted Christ as their Savior. So it's so important that we get God's word out and make those distributions, and we pray as Gideons that we will be diligent in making the distributions so that every child, the Gideons have been to, that I've talked to, that I've never been to a foreign country making a distribution, but they say there's nothing more heartbreaking than to run out of testaments and still have children reaching and wanting a testament. So we try very hard to have more than enough testaments to make those distributions. At the Penn State recently, there were over 7,000 testaments distributed on the campus of Penn State. So even though we received publicity that we weren't allowed to have Bibles in the rooms of the Penn State, or I think the college owns 2 hotels or motels up there, we still are allowed on the campus. And if I remember, there's a Christian group on the campus. We have to be invited by them to come, and they will put in with the administration and say, "We would like the Gideons to come and make a distribution," and they sponsor us that we can go in. So we do place those. Penn Tech up in Williamsport, there were 1,100 testaments distributed there. And up at Bloomsburg, at the Bloomsburg Fair last year, there were over 9,000 testaments distributed. So we try to get there and we try to make those distributions and say, "Have you met my best friend?" And we hand them God's word. Well, how can you help? Number one, pray. Pray for the safety of the Gideons around the world and that they might have opportunities to serve you, because many areas don't have the freedoms that we have to make those distributions. And so pray for those Gideons. Not too long ago, there were some in India that were thrown in jail for, I think, 2 weeks because they were trying to make a distribution. And yet I've heard speakers from India say that unfortunately, although they're very much accepted by many people in India, they have so many gods that it's just one more to many of them. So we have to pray that they will come to know that there is only one true God, and that he sent his son to die for us. So we need your prayers. Second, there may be a potential Gideon in this congregation. Usually I say, come and see me, but I think probably more appropriate would be stop over and see Don Fogle and go see Don. He'll be sure to give you an application. So if you're a business or professional man, a professional farmer, you are welcome to become a Gideon. And thirdly, you have opportunities to present Bibles, to give Bibles. We have what they call our Gideon card program, and you have a card rack back in your vestibule. You can give Gideons in memory of someone. There are some people that actually will give a Bible or several Bibles on the anniversary of a death of someone. Or at the time of death of a loved one or a friend, you can present Bibles. And someone spoke to me between the services and said how many Bibles had been given in memory of one of her parents. So you have that opportunity. If you don't have time to send the card yourself, you can just use the envelope mark that you would like us to mail the card for you. And don't think in terms of dollars. One hardbound Bible is $5. But think in terms of lives that will be touched by that over a 5 to 7 year period, over 2,000 people will pick up a Bible in a hotel or motel. You can send an in recognition card. And that's you're recognizing someone for something that they've done. And same way, just mail the card and then send us your contribution in the envelope that's in there. Or you can do an honor card for someone in honor of something that say, I'm honoring you with sending a gift to the Gideons. And then we've come into the 21st century, and if you have a smartphone, if you look on your bulletin insert, there's this little thing down here in the corner, and they tell me you can take a smartphone and hold it over that, and it will take you to the Gideon website, and you can actually use your phone to make a contribution to the Gideons because of this. I think it's called a check mark. I was in a service last week, and there was a fellow there named Bill Geis, and Bill is a computer programmer, and he called out to me what it's actually called. But Bill is a good and faithful Christian, and he says, yes, Tom, that's what that's called. So you can make a difference and touch the hearts of people around the world. Again, I say thank you for allowing me to be here and to share with you today and to worship with you. What a joy and pleasure it is. In the name of Christ, thanks.